Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event, Merab Dvalishvili taking on Petr Yan. This should be a bit of a wild one for as long as it lasts. Now, of course, it is a main event. It's 25 minutes. We've got five-minute rounds. I have no doubt that Petr Yan can work hard for 25 minutes. Merab Dvalishvili works hard for 15 minutes regardless of who he's fighting. His work rate is incredible. But that does bring me to my first point of whether his conditioning is going to hold up or not over the five rounds, especially taking on someone like Petr Yan. Before we go any further, this show is brought to you by our friends over at Athletic Greens. I love this stuff. I use it every day. I started using this basically because I'm terrible at making sure that I'm getting all of my nutrients during the day. I don't want a whole shelf full of bottles of pills and vitamins and stuff. It just takes too long organizing and making sure everything's covered. With this, I have one scoop in the morning mixed into 12 ounces of water, shake it up, get it in my system before anything else, and it sets me right for the day. 75 vitamins, minerals, adaptogens, probiotics, all food sourced as well, so you know you're going to get that good absorption. It really is fantastic stuff. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you 5 free travel packs with your first purchase and a year's free supply of vitamin D and K2. Of course, very important. If you don't get too much sunshine, which is difficult in some areas of the world, you need this for your immune system, and you need this just generally to make sure you are covered. So go to athleticgreens.com/outlawed, outlawed with the ED like the podcast, and you'll get your 5 free travel packs. You'll get all the stuff that you need to get your daily nutritional coverage organized. Really, really good stuff. I can't recommend it highly enough. Okay, tail of the tape. So Petr Yan with a record of 16 wins and 4 losses. Merab Dvalishvili with not too dissimilar of a record, 15 wins and 4 losses. But of course, if you look at the details of their record, if you look at who they fought and the circumstances within which they fought, of course, Petr Yan is the more advanced of the two fighters. 1-inch height advantage for Petr Yan, standing 5'7", 1-inch reach advantage at 68 inches for Merab Dvalishvili. Not much in the height and reach. This really is a fight more determined by range and pace. And this is kind of where I come to the first stumbling block for Petr Yan. Because if I look down Petr Yan's record, I mean, he's coming off 2 split decision losses. Of course, the Sean O'Malley one over 3 rounds and the Aljamain Sterling one over 5. In those fights, I really felt like he could have put his foot on the gas a bit more. And I felt the same about the first fight against Aljamain Sterling. Sometimes it's almost like because he has such a presence in the octagon, he's able to kind of push his opponent around without really doing too much. And because octagon control is lower down on the scoring criteria, you can't bank on that for winning you the fights. You have to keep hitting your opponents or taking them down or whatever. You have to do something to keep racking up points. And I feel like Petr Yan, because he doesn't feel like he's getting beaten by his opponents, his work rate is lower than it should be. And that, in my opinion, was the problem against Aljo both times and against Sean O'Malley to a point as well. I felt like he could have opened up more. But because he has this presence, it allows him to kind of bully people without really opening up. Now, the reality is, he's fighting someone in Merab Dvalishvili who for the first 15 minutes is going to be like a pocket generator. Like the speed, the pace that he works at, the amount of times he shoots for takedowns is probably unrivaled in this division. I'm going to go through and give you some examples in a second. But this is where I feel like Merab can really push at Petr Yan, because technically, I feel like Petr Yan's better. I feel like he's got better striking. I feel like he's got a higher fight IQ. He's got better footwork. I feel like just generally he's more calculated as an MMA fighter. And I feel like there's a real meanness to Petr Yan, which is a benefit sometimes, but it can also work against him. Now, the patience of Petr Yan would be beneficial because this is 5 rounds and because it's Merab's first time over 25 minutes. So there are questions about the pace that Merab keeps and whether he can keep it for 25 minutes. Because, I mean, it's kind of like Clay Guida. You watch him and you think at some point you've got to slow down. At some point you've got to get tired. But what is the circumstance that Merab gets tired? Is it because he works really, really hard to stay close and to grapple with Petr Yan through the first 3 rounds? Or is it that, you know, I don't know. I mean, Petr Yan might just walk him down and counterpunch him. Because if Petr Yan is able to keep this fight on the feet, then he knows that right hook from Moraes was landing. Left hook, wasn't it? Left hook from Moraes landed a few times. And Petr Yan's absolutely got that ability to crack him with that and hurt him. He fights out of both stances. He's got good footwork. He's got a nice tight high guard. Very threatening individual to stand in front of. So it might force Merab to keep working at that pace, which is not sustainable for 25 minutes. So then let's say, for example, Merab comes out absolutely ferocious, supremely conditioned. He works hard in the first 5 minutes, but he's not able to score a takedown, but he's able to do enough to win the round and to force Petr Yan into a defensive mode. Then he comes out in the second round and he boxes a little bit and level changes a bit, but he's still not having a lot of success, but he's still doing a lot more than what Petr Yan is, who's standing and waiting and defending. Then it comes to the third round and Merab might be two rounds up already going into the next round. And Petr Yan still might not really feel like he's losing the fight, but the judges might not feel like he's doing enough to win. I hope you understand. I hope you're following what I'm saying here. So then now you've got 15 minutes where Merab's already got the confidence that he's probably two rounds up. He comes into this third round knowing he's got to win one of the next three. And then, you know, he's got the win in the bag. And the longer the fight goes with Merab either stifling Petr Yan's work rate or forcing him to work when he doesn't want to, or making Petr Yan work on Merab's terms, which would be exhausting for most people, the longer that happens, the more Petr Yan's going to get desperate in those last 10 minutes. And when he gets desperate, we start to see him do silly things. And I don't feel like it's a lack of composure. I feel like it's a choice that he makes. And this, you know, I feel like he dropped a head onto Uriah Faber in that fight. I felt like the knee against Aljamain Sterling, like he knew full well what he was doing in that fight. He wasn't sure of the rules. That's nonsense because he's the champion. If he doesn't know the rules, then that's unacceptable for someone of his caliber of opponent, of athlete. But at the same time, I feel like he gets impatient and he gets frustrated sometimes. And because he's got such a stoic look on his face, you kind of don't feel like he's getting frustrated when he actually is. Like my example will be one of his really early fights. And one of the benefits that Petr Yan's got in this is that he's either fought or he's been lined up to fight five rounds several times. So, of course, the two fights against Aljamain Sterling were both five-round fights. One of them was stopped at the end of the fourth. Corey Sandhagen was a five-round fight. Aldo was a five-round fight, but obviously he stopped him in the fifth round. And then you go back to his earlier career when he was fighting in ACB. He had two absolute battles with Magomed Magomedov. And the first Magomed Magomedov fight was much closer than the second one. Second one, Petr Yan came out and unanimous decisioned him. But the first one was close enough for Petr Yan to start to get reckless in the last round. Then you start to see him do things like headbutting his opponent. And I mean, the thing is, it's like when you get to that point when you're not really sure which way the fight's going, it's almost like he chooses to get disqualified over lose by decision. And I know that's a silly thing to say, but I just don't see any other reason for the calculations that he's making in his head sometimes. Like against Magomed Magomedov, you can literally see him headbutt him as he's walking into the clinch. I felt like he did, and he's very sly, he's very cautious with it. I felt like he tried to get away with it against Aljamain Sterling by arguing that it was an illegal knee, and he was, you know, I can't give him the benefit of the doubt that he just didn't know the rule, because that's unforgivable for someone who's a champion. I also, looking in Petr Yan's eyes, the photograph, his family Christmas card photo, is just terrifying. I think the guy's got a real mean streak, something similar to what John Jones has got that we've talked about before. But that can work against him, just like it worked against John Jones in the Matt Hamill fight. I feel like it worked against Petr Yan in the Aljamain Sterling fight. And I feel like it could here, if Merab starts to run away with this decision, if his work rate's too high for Petr Yan, and you know he's not landing the shots every time he throws that hook, he's dealing with takedowns, there's going to be frustration. There might be a real argument for Petr Yan doing something that's going to either deduct points, which is going to affect the decision, or do something really silly, which gets him disqualified, especially because he's coming off two split decision losses. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I feel like Petr Yan's got a really, really mean streak, and it can really be effective in fights, because if he's winning, it makes him even more vicious. But if he's losing, it can make him a little bit more desperate and miscalculating his situation. Now, as far as Merab, he's, like I said, his work rate is incredible. And you look at the guys he's beaten, like you know, John Dodson, Casey Kenny, Brad Katona, excellent conditioning. Cody Stamen, again, awesome conditioning. People that he's been able to keep an absolute pace on, and has managed to wear them down, control the majority of the fight, dominate the majority of the fight, and be able to keep putting these wins on his record. Now, if we look at the takedown averages, and this doesn't really do him justice either. So Peter Yan's takedown average is 1.86 per 15 minutes. Merab's is 6.54 with a 40% takedown accuracy. Now, it is worth noting that 40% takedown accuracy spread over the amount of takedowns that he shoots is really quite a high statistic. And I was just browsing a little earlier, going through his UFC stats page, and it really starts to kind of turn a corner against Casey Kenny, right? So this is a 3-round unanimous decision win for Merab. He was, what, 50% takedown success here? 24 attempts, 12 takedowns. And it's consistent all the way through. Next fight against Lopez, 18 attempts, 13 takedowns. John Dodson, someone notoriously difficult to get a hold of, 20 attempts, only scored 2 of them, but he attempted 20. Right? You know, we go on. Like, what's it? What's Cody Stamen? 5 out of 11. I mean, he was 4 of 4 against Marlon Moraes. But same thing against Jose Aldo. And he had no success against Aldo in takedowns. 0% success. But he still attempted 16. And he still won that fight by decision. It's a pace that the majority of people can't even comprehend. Like, if you're a training partner of Merab, you're going to be conditioned no matter who you come up against. No matter who you're fighting, they can't put a wrestling pace on you that your training partner Merab can. Whether Peter Yan can consistently keep that takedown offense at 90% is going to be very, very difficult to do, because Merab stitches one takedown attempt into the next. It's going to take Peter Yan to do something decisive to stop him doing that. Now, there are a couple of things that Peter Yan does well when people close range. He's very good. Obviously, his takedown offense is very good. He's very good anti-clinch. He's very good at landing knees and kicks from the clinch. We remember what he did against Uriah Faber. Pulled his head down. Faber pulled his head back. Head kick on the end. He's got great knees. He's got great foot sweeps as well. I mean, go back and watch his fights against Magomedov. They were really fun to watch. And a lot of the time, it's foot sweep to snap down to front headlock. Quite exhaustive stuff. But maybe not a range that he wants to be choosing to compete at against Merab. It might be a range that he uses if he has to when Merab closes range. Ultimately, if I'm Peter Yan, I want to keep this fight on the feet, right? I want to walk Merab down with my nice tight rear guard. I want to keep walking him onto this hook, and I want to switch my stance and walk him onto this hook, and I want to smash his legs as much as I can with low kicks. That's the smart approach for Peter Yan. But even if he chooses to do that as the game plan, he still has to do it at such a work rate that he is able to keep the judges voting for him when it comes to the end of the round. Because if Merab is shooting 16 takedowns in 15 minutes against Aldo and failing all of them, like, he's never discouraged, how many takedowns does he shoot against Peter Yan over 25 minutes? Like, we know he can shoot 24 takedowns in 15 minutes. So what does that look like over 20? Is that 36 takedown attempts? Is it 40 takedown attempts? At what point does he get tired? At what point does he start to get discouraged if they start to fail? These are all real big questions, and questions that are going to be exasperated because this is a 25-minute fight. If this was 15 minutes, I'd be far more, yeah, I think Merab's just going to be too much for him. And I feel like in a street fight where there's no time limits and no rules, Peter Yan wins every time. But in an MMA contest where the rounds are scored by 5 minutes at a time, I feel like Merab has such a work rate that it would be difficult for Peter Yan to match it. So yeah, over 15 minutes, I'm thinking Merab's probably going to just keep such a wrestling pace on Peter Yan that Yan's so defensive he's not able to break out of that mode. But over 25 minutes, that then starts causing more problems for Merab, because there are questions around that. Like, Peter Yan's got, you know, neck attacks and knee attacks and foot sweeps and stuff. He's like, I mean, he's only got one submission on his record, but he threatens with the guillotine constantly. I mean, the one win on his record from his, what was it, his third MMA fight, 47-second guillotine. I don't necessarily think he's going to get it, but I think it might be worth him threatening that constantly against Marab. And we remember that, what was it, the end of the, was it Ricky Simone, end of the 15 minutes, where he was kind of shaking at the end and thinking that he was still in the fight? Yeah, it was Ricky Simon. It was definitely a technical submission. He was out. They were not defensive shakes to try and get the legs off from around his legs. I feel like that might be something that Peter Yan can use against him, wrapping around his neck, just threatening him a little bit with that. It might stifle some of his takedowns, but it's going to be difficult to stifle the majority of them. Peter Yan's going to have to be defensive and then offensive. Maybe hold him in the clinch and strike out of the clinch, etc. There's lots of different options for Peter Yan, but ultimately it's holding Marab off for 10, 15 minutes and then really putting the work in the last 10 minutes. I think Peter Yan would probably be the smart thing for him to do. If we just have a quick look at their record. So Peter Yan's got 16 wins on his record, 7 by knockout. Marab has got 15 wins on his record, 3 by knockout. Only one submission as well for Marab, which was an armbar outside of the UFC. Like, he's not really a finisher. I mean, and this is the other thing as well, and this is why I expect Peter Yan to be thinking about those last 15 minutes as opposed to the first 15 minutes. Because if I'm fighting Marab, I'm utilising the fact that he doesn't have 25-minute experience in the octagon. He is, the majority of the time, he's beating people by unanimous decision. And it is because that intense wrestling pace that he puts on people. You know, we saw him get dropped against Marlon Moraes. If Peter Yan's able to keep this on the feet, we know he's got the stopping power. We know he can catch him and hurt him. It's just, is he going to be punching air while Marab is level changing and trying to take him down? That's one of the things that might shut Peter Yan down a little bit, and probably one of the reasons why he was, I don't know, hesitant. I don't know. Is that the right word? I'm not sure as it is. I don't know as he was hesitant against Aljamain Sterling. I just don't think he wanted to give him any easy takedowns. He was anticipating level changes because Aljo looks uncomfortable on the feet. So I think Peter sometimes banks too much on his presence winning him the rounds and not enough about his work rate. Maybe that's changed. Two split decision losses. That Sean O'Malley loss is going to absolutely burn. And of course, you know, he's got two losses now on his record to Aljamain Sterling, when I'm sure Peter Yan still feels like he's the better fighter. This is a tough test. Marab's been waiting for an opportunity like this. And, you know, having just beaten Jose Aldo and Marlon Moraes, he's put a couple of really good wins on his record. He's finally got a stoppage in the UFC over Marlon Moraes. Even though he came back from a rough first round, he was able to finish it at the end of the second. It's a fun one, this one is. I mean, I feel like you could put all of these fighters in a bag and shake them up and pull two out, and they're always going to be great matchups. The division is absolutely stacked. I mean, every single one of them. We've got Marlon fighting soon as well, haven't we? You know, you've got Corey Sandhagen in even further down. I mean, Umar Nurmagomedov, Ricky Simon, Jack Shaw at number 15. Although he's moving up to featherweight, isn't he, in his next fight? Anyway. Regardless, bantamweight is stacked, and Marab has got the pace and the work rate to beat anybody over 15 minutes. Can he do it over 25 minutes against a former champion is the big question, and it's a question I am looking forward to seeing him trying to answer on Saturday night against Peter Yan. But I will very much be looking forward to Peter Yan fighting, because he is a bit terrifying. Anyway, enjoy these fights. Make sure you check out our sponsors, AG1 Athletic Greens. Get some of this in your system at the start of the day and you will feel so much better about it. Go to athleticgreens.com/outlawed and you'll get your 5 free travel packs. You'll get your vitamin D for a year's supply. And then, of course, your Athletic Greens to keep you alive and healthy and well. Enjoy these fights and I'll see you next time.